Good morning, and welcome to another episode of Exit Strategies Radio Show. I am your host, Colwyn J. Millett, broken owner of Exit Realty Low Country Group in beautiful North Charleston, South Carolina. If this is your first time listening to this show, you, sir or ma'am, are in for a treat because our mission here is very simple. That is to empower our community through financial literacy and real estate education. We're legacy building. That is what we do. So if you're out there making things happen with your family for the generations yet to come, you know, our word teaches us to leave a legacy, to leave an inheritance for our children, our children's children, and so forth and so on. We want you to put a hashtag on that thing that says that you are legacy building, because that is what you are doing. You can find us on Facebook, YouTube, Anchor FM. You can also find us on Instagram at our website, ExitStrategiesRadioShow.com. You can catch us in a number of different places on your favorite podcast applications. We appreciate you listening. Please share this content with your friends, your family, your coworkers, even those in your groups, your church groups, etc., guys. Because sometimes the message and the word that we are speaking here today is for you. Sometimes it is for someone else that you know. Again, we appreciate you listening. Let's get started. Good morning, and welcome to another episode of Exit Strategies Radio Show. I'm your host. You know who I am. Guys, the intro told it. Yes, it did. Colwyn J. Millett, broker and owner of Exit Realty Low Country Group in beautiful North Charleston, South Carolina. So look, hey, we're going to jump right into today's show, and the purpose or the value, let's frame it that way, guys. The true value in today's show is really based upon something relatively simple. It is information that you should know. All right. So today we're going to talk primarily about the market in the Charleston region. All right. And Charleston is a region now. It's not limited to just the city of Charleston or just the municipality of Charleston, Mount Pleasant, of North Charleston, et cetera. I mean, there is a region. I mean, it expands or goes from what we consider in South Carolina to be the coastal region, Myrtle Beach region, which would be around or go all the way down south to Georgetown, would go inland to Conway. That's how that sits. The PD covers the area from Marion County, going over through Florence County, pulling in Darling County, Hartsville, Dillon, and Marlboro sits this kind of edge. But anyway, just kind of understanding the regions in South Carolina, that is very useful and beneficial to kind of understand the marketplace that we're referring to and we're talking about. And so recently, and what we want to kind of touch on, and just for our listeners, today, this show, all right, this show is a precursor to some upcoming conversations, all right, because we are very fortunate to have on our agenda, on our calendar, some great speakers, some great guests who are going to bring some additional insight into what we're going to be talking about today. So we're going to expound on this as we go forward. But today I want to take an opportunity really to give you guys an introduction, kind of pull in some other things in general that we are working on that will benefit you so you can begin to, quote unquote, as old folks say, govern yourself accordingly. So recently there was a housing study that took place in Charleston. All right, in the Charleston region, okay? And it's interesting, but a few months ago, I hosted a town hall meeting to the extent in what is my hometown of Mullen, right? So Marion County in South Carolina. And I hosted this for a very specific purpose, and that was to get the people, the residents, to understand what was going on in that area related to housing, in turn, where there were challenges, and to hopefully engage people so that we can start trying to figure out the solutions. And one of the things that's, you know, constant in our nation, I mean, it's constant in our nation, you know, you're either focused on or working on housing affordability. So home prices have exceeded what the residents. So typically what you find is like in a rural area or in a particular area, people that have been there forever, my opinion, they kind of nest in and their income gets to a certain level. But then eventually people outside of that area who have different or higher income levels kind of move in, things start happening and home prices elevate. And oftentimes the residents, the people that were there, the natives, if you will, those people end up being priced out of the market or otherwise, you know, feel they have limits or limitations as to what they can achieve in the market as far as home purchase. This is no different, in my opinion, than any other market in the country. Attainability, affordability is an issue that we see, all right? Because people are transient. People move from one area of the country, of the state, of the world, one place to another. People are coming into the U.S. all the time. That is something that we manage to keep on the news a lot. But people have always come into the United States because our country represents freedom, liberty, that has other advantages that other countries may or may not have. All right. So let's bring this back in because we're not here for a political conversation, but for some understanding. So because it's desirable to live here, as people, as there's influx of people, wherever they come from, you run into issues with affordability and attainability of housing. But then also on the other end of the spectrum, you sometimes have the quality of housing issue. All right. Where quality of housing is, there is not adequate quality housing in a particular area. And that was a conversation that I was having in the PD in the Marin County area, because that is one of the challenges. There is a high number, high percentage, and therefore a high number of abandoned, boarded up, dilapidated properties, while there also is a shortage of housing, people, quality houses. So people living in houses that are in very ill repair, to be frank, that are not safe. And in turn, a need for quality housing exists. However, there's also the affordability issue. So someone is living in a less than safe property because they can't afford to go somewhere else. So again, that is something that is relatively consistent across our country. So in some areas, some parts of our country, some neighborhoods, et cetera, we have issues with attainability, but we also have issues with affordability. All right. So let's bring this around and kind of bring this back to, you know, again, our conversation for today. And that focuses primarily in the Charleston metro area. All right. So I'm going to drop some statistics here so you kind of have an idea, but I'm also going to kind of get to some what I will refer to as what may be considered to be bullet points. And those bullet points are going to be relevant to you as we move forward, not only just in the market, but as we move forward in this conversation about how we address, how we help to minimize, because at the end of the day, we're going to eliminate it, just to be direct. And I'll kind of frame that in elsewhere in our conversation, but we're not going to eliminate the issues that we see with housing. And we're not going to eliminate the issues that we see in general with population growth. All right. So again, let's just get that out of our minds. All right. So the Charleston metro area, all right, like I said, it's a pretty broader, expansive area. All right. So the study was set to do a few things. All right. Overall analysis of the Charleston area housing market. Okay. Also to look at existing housing policies, housing policy proposals and case studies to have an idea of what things could be applied to the market to help or otherwise assist with managing, if you will, growth and all those things. To evaluate those policies in terms of feasibility and potential impact to the housing supply within the region. So that was the purpose of this particular study. Okay. Now, what's interesting as we kind of get to a section about the findings. And again, this is information, guys, that's an introduction today. We will delve into this a little bit further in a future show, but understanding this will help you as a consumer to understand where the opportunities are in the market. I keep telling our listeners, I keep having this conversation that the real estate market in South Carolina is good. There is opportunities. Now, do those opportunities look like you want them to look sometimes? Maybe, maybe not. But there are opportunities. All right. So 76,000 households in the Charleston area were classified as being cost burden. That was in 2019. Cost burden, as a definition as it relates to housing affordability, cost burden is a household where more than 30% of the gross income in the household is being spent on rent or mortgage. If we're going to include that into this as well. All right. So those households have less money to spend on personal or other necessities or other desires, if that makes sense. Your wants, needs, everybody always knows that. But understanding that, again, the number is significant. All right. In 2010, the number of households in 2010, guys, if you remember, if you don't remember, many of us in this industry, we remember it is embedded in us that that was Great Recession. That was the end, what many say was the end of the recession. In that year, there were a high number of cost burden homes during that time period as well. Obviously, as we look at it, 2010, our cost burden households, or 2000, our cost burden households out of 20,000, that is nearly 50%. Of the households. In 2010, out of 93,000 households, these are owner numbers, were 46,000. There were 47,000, which is over half, that were cost burden as far as rental households in 2010. There were 26,000, which is over 50% in 2000 even. And then in 2019, there were 43,000 cost burden households out of 76,000 households that were renters, Overall, renters and homeowners, again, accounted for 76,000, but 43,000 of households were, again, cost burden. So that's important for you guys to understand, because that demonstrates a change or a continuation of a pattern of that type of change in our market. So guys, look, we're going to plug it right here for a second, drop in our commercial breaks. But we're going to come right back and we're going to pick right back up on this. You're listening to the Exit Strategies Radio Show. Congratulations to our Realtor of the Week for Exit Realty Low Country Group, none other than Chad Vick. You can reach Chad at 843-425-0083, or you can text Vick Homes SC. That's Vick Home SC. To 85377, VickHomesc, to 85377. Y'all give Chad a holler now. All right, guys. Hey, second segment, Exit Strategies Radio Show. So we're going to pick up where we were right before. So we're talking about the number of cost burden households. I don't want to go back too far. I mean, I gave you the information before the break, you know, going back technically over 10 years, well, actually technically over 20-year time period. But we want to really kind of focus on recent because, I mean, to be frank about it, history gives us indication what has happened, what could happen. But as we progress forward, while we need to respect and take note of the history, we also need to make strides to make sure that we're improving upon it. And we want to focus on the improvement on this show. All right. So I want to continue with the next thing. This is something that if you're in the real estate market, if you work in the market, you kind of felt it. You may not have known exactly what it was. If you were a buyer or seller potentially in the market during this time period, you may have felt it, but again, still not known exactly what it was. But between January and June of 2021, so of last year, the median sale price for homes listed in the Charleston metro area increased. This is median price, all right? Not average, but the median price increased by 12.5% over the same time period for 2020. Had to put a little pause there because that is very, very relevant. See, understanding the market. See, many people look and, you know, I've had this conversation as recently as today of, hey, you know what? Market's going to crash. Probably not. There's too many things happening for housing to be in peril. Now, can it happen? Yes. But there's a number of other things based upon where we currently are, that would probably have to happen in order for that to happen. And yes, there's usually a recession, you know, every 10 or so years. That is something historically that has happened. So will we see some changes? Yeah. But housing fundamentally is needed. We have technically more people in many areas than we have available housing. We will figure out the solution. So there will be a demand continuous for quality as well as, to be direct, affordable housing as we move forward. Now, if you're a renter, pay attention to this. During that same time period, so January to June of 2021 versus 2020, rents went up 14%. The reasoning behind all of that, to be very direct about it, again, if you were in the market, you know, during that time period, some people took their homes off the market and there was a steady demand for housing. So a steady demand with less supply increases pricing. These increases were driven in part by insufficient housing inventory because, again, people had a demand. People were relocating here. People were still retiring and moving here otherwise. And in turn, there were less homes on the market here. So because there were less homes, that began a process, if you will, or began this period of escalation in home prices. And we want to make sure that we understand that, what drives that. Again, people are transient. They move from one place to another. There's always people that are relocating. People relocate for work. Some people retire and relocate based upon their retirement, where they want to live. And we all in South Carolina feel that, well, I say we all, but some of us in South Carolina feel that South Carolina is a great place to live. So if it is, then in turn, we are going to attract people to our state. Now, going out and saying it's a bad place to live may not change that, but or if it does change that, it may change something else. There's an unintended consequence with that oftentimes. But understanding that has improved home value. So for someone who has owned a home in the Charleston market, Charleston region for 15, 20 years, they may have seen exponential, maybe even quote unquote explosive, you know, increase in the amount or the value of their home over that time period. Someone that bought as recently, and I've actually seen this, some people that bought it as recently as 2 years ago are refinancing, taking money out. Some of them are buying additional properties, you know, or buying the next home. And some people are moving up as buyers, meaning they're selling a home, but some people are turning into rentals and purchasing because they can rent the home. And based upon where they secure their financing, their price, all those things, they can rent at a rate that's higher and essentially make some cash flow and then move to a bigger house and have a mortgage payment that is subsidized by the payment on the original or the first home. That is what real estate affords us the opportunity to do. And again, we still have those opportunities within our state, within our market in the Charleston region. Other parts of the state have or similar opportunities. So please don't take this show to be just about what is going on in Charleston, because this is something that, again, impacts us all across the state. All right. So one of the things to understand, you know, one of the things as a reminder to many of you who've been listening to the show for years or for any substantial amount of time, we haven't talked about a balanced market in Charleston in a very long time because it hasn't been there. A balanced market most times is about 5 or 6 months of inventory. When you get below five and all those things, you're into a seller's market. When you get above, you know, 6 months of inventory, you're into a buyer's market. And we have not had a buyer's market in the Charleston area since probably around 2010-ish, give or take a year or so. All right. The reality is that home prices have escalated because inventory has been down. Demand is up. In turn, the number of homes on the market is substantially low. And in turn, on top of that, we're seeing a tremendous influx of new buyers into this particular market. So let's talk about briefly where some of the opportunities are. And again, we're not going to delve too far in on this piece of it because we wanted to lay the groundwork, continue conversation about what is going on. Affordable housing is a new term for every politician currently. Everybody wants to talk about affordable housing. The problem or the challenge with that, personally, the problem and challenge with that is that housing affordability has been an issue, not just now. It's been that way for a while. Now it impacts more people. It impacts different people than what it used to. And take that, do with that information what it is that you will. But understand that now it has become the coin phrase for everybody, because now we're impacting such a broad demographic of people that we've realized that it's more of an issue than what was previously thought. Now, affordable housing is not. There is a plethora of opinion about this, but affordable housing is not low-income housing. This is something that we need to change the narrative on, and we need to continue and foster this conversation. Affordable housing is housing for veterans. It's housing for police and firefighters. It is housing for nurses and school teachers. Affordable housing is for your city or municipality worker, admin. It's for the people that if you are listening to this show sitting in a cubicle, it's for you possibly, or maybe it's for the person in the cubicle next to you. If you're sitting in an office and there's cubicles out in front of your office, it may not be for you sitting in the office, but it's for the people that's sitting out there in the cubicles. Affordable housing is needed by a lot of people, and in turn, it is not necessarily low-income housing. So for example, affordable housing, the service for the city of Charleston states that a single person making $69,000 or less gross income qualifies for assistance, meaning affordable housing, all right? That is not low-income housing. That's not. So we need to change that narrative. We need to change that mindset. And oftentimes what happens is certain areas, neighborhoods, well, I don't want that around me. What does that mean? I don't want that around me. See, the opportunity that we have in front of us is to make it easier for people to be able to live closer or maybe even live technically where they work. One of the challenges in our current market, and this is something that, based to be blunt about it, COVID has identified, it's identified that we can live differently. If anybody has not thought about this, you know, the whole pandemic highlighted the fact that we all can live different. We can live, stay at home more or work from home. Let me say it that way. Not that we stay home, but that we can work from home. It has demonstrated that, I mean, I don't think we're doing a good or effective job at it, but, you know, we could technically almost homeschool, if you will. I mean, we're not doing a good job of that at all, but we can work from home better than what we thought we could, which means that we can change how people live, where they interact, and things of that nature. However, we can't get away from service. So one of the other things that was interesting to me out of this study, and I'm kind of jumping around a little bit now, but one of the things that was interesting was also for this region, for the Charleston region, that 2 out of 3 people that moved here were 50 years or older. So you have more consumers moving into this region than you do people that are moving in for work or to work. So the people that are moving in at that age, many of them are either first retired, maybe they come and they're going to do a second career here or work part-time. And some of them are not planning to work at all. So they're going to be consumers, and therefore they need people. And don't take this the wrong way. It doesn't mean that you're a servant, but they need people to serve. You need cashiers at the grocery store. Yeah, now we're self-checking out and doing all that stuff, right? But you need cashiers. You need fast food workers. You need people at the gas station. You need people at the utility company. You need all these people in all these various places to do work that serves the community as a whole. And the challenge now with housing affordability is that we can't meet that. We can't meet that because in certain areas, even within the Charleston area, certain areas, the people that serve, that work in the restaurants and things in those areas cannot afford to live there. So they have to commute. People in Mount Pleasant, people have to commute from North Charleston, other parts of the region in order to serve those people there. You see this a lot of places, North Charleston, people having to commute from further out, St. Stephens, Monk's Corner, in order to work at a place where they can make a reasonable income with tips and all this other stuff that's available. And that is our challenge. That's what affordable housing needs to address. So I'm going to say this as we kind of wrap up today's show. We have in Mount Pleasant now affordable housing, and many people didn't want it, don't want it, don't see the benefit of it. But as people that work at the hospital, the local firefighter, the EMS worker, the police officer who couldn't afford to live in Mount Pleasant because of the cost of living, whether it be an apartment or let alone purchasing a house in that particular market, that person now can afford to own a home through grants and other down payment assistance programs. That's affordable housing, and that's who we serve. So guys, as we close out today's show, I want to thank you so much for listening. Always, most importantly, I want to make sure you know where to contact us, where to reach us. Guys, you can get us at info@exitstrategiesradioshow.com. Guys, you can text Corwin, that is Corwyn, to 85377. That number again is 85377. You can text my name there and you can get my contact information. I love to hear from you. Most importantly, we love the opportunity to serve you. As I always tell you, you know how you're going to hear it. You know I love you. You know I love you. And I love you some more. And we'll see you guys here real soon.
Guys, that was a great show today. And we thank you so much for taking the time to listen to Exit Strategies Radio Show. My name is Corwin J. Millette. Yes, that is me. And I thank you from the bottom of my heart for tuning in for today's episode. Exit Strategies is my baby. It is how I give back to our community. It is how I foster goodwill, spread good news, and trustfully help you get great results. Guys, as I always say to you, I love you, I love you, I love you. And we're going to see you guys out there in the streets.